Welcome to Hearthstone Network, where we bring you true stories, great teachings, and inspirational testimonies that will captivate your spirit. Join us for a journey of resilience, wisdom, and triumph to encourage you through the power of storytelling. We are so happy you've joined us today on The Living Scripture. If this is your first time to join us, I'm Sandra Hicks, founder of Hearthstone Network. And my friends here,
Cindy Hayes, co-founder of Free Indeed Ministries.
Hi, and I'm Darla Ryden with When Kings Speak.
Well, there you go. We like to discuss scripture, and so we just decided we would do a podcast where we share kind of our thoughts on the scripture. Anyway, today our topic is a really exciting topic. We are going to unwrap the love story. Yes, the love story of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I know the Holy Spirit is something that maybe is not talked about a lot, and sometimes it's even controversial, but we love Holy Spirit, and we know His place in our lives, and we're going to be talking about that today. Well, I think the best way to begin our conversation today about the Holy Spirit, ladies, would be to start when Holy Spirit was actually introduced in the New Testament. So if you have your Bible, we are going to begin with Acts 2. And, you know, I actually grabbed the Message version today, ladies. So how about if I start reading Acts 2, 1 through 4 in the Message, and then, Darla, you pick it up. You probably have the American Standard.
Sure do.
Why don't you read, like, say, 5 through 7, and then let's get into it.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Acts 2, verse 1. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them.
Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered because they were each one hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galatians?" They were asking a question. And how is it that each one here is hearing in his own language to which he was born? I went through 8 anyway, but to finish it off, I don't think I did that very well. But they were asking the question, aren't these all Galatians, and why are they speaking in our individual language? So something came on them where all of a sudden these men were speaking in all
different tongues. Well, let's talk about that. As you read through the rest of the scripture, what is this that came upon them, and why did they have to have it? What did it do?
It was the Holy Spirit.
But what was the purpose?
To give them boldness and power, and authority.
Well, when you look at the scripture, I feel like if you know the Lord and you walk with Him, you have Holy Spirit. What is the difference here? I think what this symbolizes is this was, the apostles already had the Spirit, okay? But what happened is when this came upon them, they had power. Now remember, Peter just a few days before that had denied Christ. He receives the Holy Spirit, and now he's a man full of power. They begin to see healings, signs and wonders, prophecy. Massive numbers of people came and joined the church.
He became so bold, too.
And he wasn't afraid to die for the cause of Christ. So obviously, this Holy Spirit did something to the men at the time.
Well, when I was looking up verse 3, and it says, "And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them." They rested. So I looked
like
up the word.
Of looking,
These fires coming down. So I looked up the word, Greek word for rested.
Okay.
And it's kathizo.
Which means?
Which means to set upon, to confer a kingdom on one.
Get out. Oh, my gosh.
So
read that
here,
one more time.
It's killer. To set or appoint, to confer a kingdom on one. Now, last couple of
Right. You know,
our teachings have been about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus left the earth, what did he say? All he taught, we've talked about that was 100 times. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. He dies, he resurrected and says, now wait until I bring you the Holy Spirit to rest upon you. And the reason I know that this is accurate is that if you'll go to Acts 2, verse 30, here's what it says. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to sit, same thing, to sit, to rest one of his descendants on his throne. Wow. So here was Jesus actually sending the Holy Spirit, and on these men were given the authority to represent the kingdom of God.
So what happens is Jesus comes to earth. He walks with them. He teaches them. They're still kind of timid, denying him at the, you know, when he was taken into custody and all of that. And then what he says to them is, the whole 3 years he's teaching is it's about kingdom of God, kingdom of God. He talks one time about being born again, and I'm not discounting that, but it's about kingdom of God. So what we don't understand, what we have not understood in the church is that our job is to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. It's about, that is what we're supposed to be doing. It's not just about getting saved, get your fire insurance, go to heaven. It's about bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Right? Yes. And so then what happens is the tongues of fire come and rest, which means to what?
To confer or to appoint. Hold on, let me say it again. It's kathizo. You have to look it up. To set a point to confer a kingdom on one.
So what he was doing at Pentecost was he was releasing the power for his church to bring the kingdom of God to earth.
Absolutely. And what it says in another, I think the TPT translation says it was the birthday of the church.
That's good.
Which is the true ecclesia, which is a legislating body.
Yeah.
And what happened there? I mean, Peter, if you look into it, Peter immediately released this incredible declaration of saying, hey, this is what was in the past. This is what Joe was talking about. Now look here. And, you know, I think, well, I know what you're going to say, but we think about healing. We think about miracles. We saw the demonstrations of what Jesus had. But here he even said, let me show you another one. I didn't even show this type of thing, but every one of these that the fire fell upon, that the kingdom came down upon, all of a sudden when they spoke with their mouths, people from other areas that didn't speak that language, all of a sudden could speak a language.
Which is a sign and wonder.
It's a sign and wonder.
You know, I hope this doesn't sound off topic, but I'm going to tell you, I've been reading a book about mission focus, about keeping your ministry focused on the main thing. And if you are a Christian ministry, the main thing is the gospel. It's Jesus. It's the kingdom of God, right? Okay, so you take, like, let me give you an example. Harvard, Yale, and other ministries were originally designed to be like places that taught seminary. They were like seminaries. They were teaching people how to, about Christ and how to spread the gospel, right? Absolutely. And so as culture comes in and starts pressuring them, and if you want money from us, you've got to get rid of the Jesus stuff, they start getting away from their true mission to get along with culture and to get the money. So now Harvard, there's nothing left of them, nothing left of them at all. Mm. And is that the same kind of thing that's happened to the church? Like when the apostles were here, was the main mission the kingdom of God? And it's just gotten watered down. And because of culture after 2,000 years, it's now a watered down. Is it? Well, I'm not saying it is. I'm saying, is it?
I think it's gotten complicated. And it'd be nice to go back and just simplify what it means to preach the gospel.
Well, it seems like now it's kind of what, like, signs of it, just the power. Like, can you imagine if Peter and Paul and those guys were to walk in this room right now? Can you imagine? I bet you would just, I have been around some people that have been so unbelievably godly. You just cry in their presence because you could just feel like God swirling around them. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that's the way the apostles were. Well, how many of those people do you meet in the world today? I don't see anybody trembling when I walk in.
Well, I think
maybe out of fear. Yes.
I think it's part of what we have been talking about, and I think we're in a huge transition right now of where the church is coming out of religion. We have been in religion since Constantine brought it into the culture.
Right.
It's exactly what you're saying. We brought what was supposed to be a culture changer and brought it into the culture and made it part of the culture and then put rules and regulations on it that could never produce anything of life. God had already done that with the Ten Commandments and all of Leviticus and Exodus and Deuteronomy, saying, do all these rules, laws.
God is not obligated to move in a man-made system.
No, he isn't, and he will not. And so where we're at right now is just, it's the most wonderful thing and hard all at the same time, because we're in this place of reforming, transforming, and yet you're having to be pulled all these different ways, and those things that are within us that are in that structure, he's having to rip those things out. And it's very painful when this is your root. But if we're going to affect a culture of a younger generation that really hasn't been churched, they don't have these religious rules, and all they do is look over and say, you have no power. There is no demonstration. We've got to get back to this place of there is a display of power, because we are so consumed and overtaken by the Holy Spirit.
And you know, a point to that losing your mission, you know that so many churches have just, I'm not trying to beat up on churches at all. I'm not. But what I'm trying to say is some churches have gone soft, and they try to be what we call seeker friendly. And churches, just like by the zillions, are getting empty, and people are coming. You know, the churches that are growing the fastest, the ones that are drawing a line in the sand and they're going back to the old fashioned Bible believing, Jesus loving church, where they're really preaching this, like, biblical stuff. Those are the ones that are growing the fastest. Now, what does that tell us? You know, I read a story of a man who, I can't remember the seminary now, but the seminary was failing. And even the teachers at the seminary were not really believing that the Bible was really inspired by God. And they were questioning a lot of things. So they brought this young guy in to be the new head of the seminary. And he drew a line in the sand and he said, we're going back to the founding mission.
Love it.
And if you don't like it, and you can't agree to teach what we're saying, then you've got to get out of here. Well, most of them left, and it was hard. They lost millions of dollars. It was about to go under. He would not waver. And you know, now it's like the largest, one of the largest, strongest seminaries in the entire world.
I love that. And I think that's where we're at. What do you see?
I listened to a podcast recently about how church needs to move towards spiritually forming the people that are coming to church, helping to grow in the Lord, and understanding that we can walk in our authority and that we're building a kingdom and we're not to be passive. And they said to turn around a church that has been for production or performance, it's really a 7-year process.
Really?
And you'll lose half your members when you just say, you know, we're going to dig in, we're going to understand the word, we're not going to be here for
thrill, spills, and chills.
Entertainment, yeah.
Or what is that? Fog machine, skinny jeans and fog machines.
Oh, yeah,
is what Umbrella says.
You know, a thing that hits me with this and what you're saying is, and there appeared to them, this is verse 2, tongues as a fire distributing themselves. And they were going out. And, you know, when I look at this, Jesus said, this is going to come. And we look at Ephesians, which we've done the book of Ephesians, and we talked about the fivefold ministry. And I really believe what's happening right now, as like Cindy is saying, we're going back to reforming, to re-seeing, like you're saying, simplifying. We're going to go back to the basics. What was the real intent? That distribution is the same thing Jesus said. I've distributed to each of you something. Yeah. So it isn't a going back to the pastoral leading system and structure that just it's pastor and teacher. It truly is allowing the fivefold to come in. What is a true apostle? What is a true prophet? What is a teacher? What does the shepherd? It's really shepherd. Pastors only use one time in scripture. It's a shepherding. And where is the evangelist? And in this, again, verse 1 was they were together in one accord. Mm-hmm. There has to be this coming together of those five together and this ebb and flow of diversity being unified, saying we're sticking together, though my way of seeing things is very prophetic. So it's intense. It's this way where the evangelist is trying to win all the souls. You know what I'm saying? And the shepherd's going, you're too harsh. You're going to make everybody run. But understanding when that diversity has to come up. And I think we haven't functioned in that because our society is in a place right now where if you don't agree with my opinion, you're out, and I'm going to do everything I can to destroy you.
Yeah,
it's no longer, I can, especially if you're on the wrong side, which most Christians are now on that side of being persecuted. We're beginning this process of, I think there was a school district recently, like here in Texas, I can't think of which one off the top of my head, Canyon ISD that put out, we absolutely want no Christian nationalists on our school board. And you're thinking, how can they even do that? So to think if we don't think that there is persecution coming at us, God, I feel like many times, just like he did through here, he puts that pressure around us to cause us to thrive and to
break the other things off. The people that are anti-Christian are calling everybody that believes in the kingdom of God a Christian nationalist. Well, I am not a Christian nationalist at all. But you know why? Jesus wanted everybody to have free will, and I'm all about everybody having free will. Okay. But I am pushing for the mission of America to be restored. It's what it was when it was founded. And that is an ethical, moral country.
And that has nothing to do whatsoever with any of those wordings. But the point being, we are having to come into something where we learn how to defer to each other's strengths.
Yes.
And being okay
we've
to have...
We've got to get rid of the competition because there isn't
honoring, any. Oh, it's honoring evil. One another.
Honoring number
we
one.
We have to be on Team King Humbling Jesus ourselves. And just realize we're soldiers.
Right. And that he distributed himself. No one has the whole package.
Right.
Why would I want to be a storyteller trying to do film or go take Josh's place back here and go, dude, let me just handle it for you, okay? I don't have the clue how to do that. But many are walking that way right now in that fullness because it is the system and the structure of religion.
Yeah.
There's a top-down authority-type structure that we're breaking out of where the FIFO was bottom-up. And it's releasing individual people. So that's where I see some of this that we're
with. And to go along with that, just later on there, and what is it, like verse 18 or 19? I can't tell in the message. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people.
Boom.
Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. That must have gone over well in old times, I'll tell you. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve. Serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and harvest marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved. So he is no respecter of persons. So let me ask you, when God was speaking to the apostles and prophets. When God speaks to you today, is it God the Father? Is it Jesus? Or is it Holy Spirit?
Can it be all three?
I'm just asking, what do you think?
I do. I think
it's all three. I feel like I hear from all of them.
At different times or is one voice all in one?
I would say I feel like I can differentiate, I think, which one's speaking to me.
Do you agree with that, darling?
Absolutely.
No, really. How can you tell whether it's God the Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit?
Well, do you have an answer? Because I can mouth off. You know me. Do you have something?
You go
say?
For it. I have to.
You can be thinking about your answer. Yes.
She's going to talk. I'll give her a minute to think.
Yes.
Like during my process of healing from a lot of yuck and trauma and all the abuse, whatever, it was the Father.
Yeah,
it was
feels so
nonstop
fatherly,
the Father, because I didn't have a father. Mm-hmm. He was just speaking to me like crazy. When I first came to Christ, it was Jesus. It was just Jesus, I'm showing you who I am. I'm showing you who I, you know, all that I've done, the pieces. Then comes this part where as I'm maturing in this relationship, I begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, who begins to counsel me and walk me and condemn me, just like, or not condemn me, but convict me.
Correct.
Yeah, correct and convict, not condemn. He doesn't condemn. You know, as I'm moving, but I've learned that I can lean into the Father when I'm needing comfort. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because Holy Spirit sometimes can be very direct and pointed at you, because that's what he's there to do, because he doesn't want you to get off path. And then there's the expression of Jesus as the King, the one that conquered it all, the example that we have to come into the fullness. And I think there is a resurgence of the expression of Christ instead of some, this is the thing that you say in Jesus's name. We're really about to see a display of Christ like we have never seen before. And it will be through the Holy Spirit, because that's the way that he's everywhere at all times. But we've never put the Holy Spirit in the position of truly being the one that actually honors and shows all support to the Father, I mean, to Jesus. He never speaks anything unless Jesus tells him to release that, whereas Jesus never says anything from the Father. It's like the coolest display. So it is to me. Wow. It's I can see them all, or I don't really see, I hear, but I can say in my own life, I just think that's why we have eternity to live. And I know I've said that, is because there's no way for us to, on this earth, to really take in the fullness of who this Creator God is.
Wow. Okay, Cindy, let's hear your version.
Okay, so when I hear the Father, it is usually in a fatherly, nurturing way. And there have been times, as we've had a long-term relationship, where he'll say, enough, I've told you what to do, and obey me. And so I feel like that's, and I'll be like, okay, I needed that little spank, and I'll do it. And it kind of halts me from whining or being in a not wanting to do something, and I'll just say, I'll trust him. And so with Jesus, I just love reading his life, what he modeled to us. And so as I'm reading how his character, and then just talking to him as I'm reading, it's like he's helping transform my character, because he's who I look to as he walked the earth. What did it look like to be be like Jesus? So it's just wanting to actually read the Gospels more and model exactly what he modeled. And then the Holy Spirit really was something new to me in the last 15 years that I never acknowledged the Holy Spirit. But I was hearing him, like I would just, out of nowhere, I would hear something that was, I would needed to hear, that guided me, corrected me, that warned me. He warned me a lot as I was overseas, and when I was in situations, there would be a warning, and then he would tell me what to do, and he would, so it was,
and that's Holy Spirit.
It was like a still small voice that I knew wasn't mine, and I knew it wasn't, I was able to differentiate it wasn't the devil, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And then as I started developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I started talking to him like I'm talking to y'all. Before, I had never done that. So we have this conversation where we're talking, and I'm asking him, and I feel we can just keep asking him, I want more of you. I want more. Yes. Just baptize me with more. Fill me with more. I want to know you more. I want to walk with you more. I want to be filled with you more. So
that's good. But,
you know, one thing, we call him God. We call him God or Father. We call Jesus Jesus. But Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage everybody to quit referring to him as the Holy Spirit. Just call him by his name. Holy Spirit. It makes him more personal.
Intimate.
It makes him who he is. Mm-hmm. No, not the. The sounds like the Holy Spirit, like the disc jockey, the carpenter, the roofer.
He's still something outside of the Trinity.
Exactly. But he's Holy Spirit. Let's bring him in to be one of the three.
And he's the one that creates. I think too, when I get, because it was a father spoke,
I had my list.
The son was a word that was being released. He was a word. he was before, and then he became the Word, Jesus did. But then it was the Holy Spirit that went out and hovered and actually brought forth what they wanted. And so for me, as a stronger prophetic person, he's the one that just unfolds revelation to me.
Yeah.
And you know, seeing things in a way I hadn't seen it before, you know, where we do say that the Word's alive and it's active and it's forming and it's reforming. And I feel like that's one of the places where the Holy Ghost does a lot of, you know, work with me, is that that voice says, look at this, or have you thought of this thought, or have you seen something this way, you know, to where we can find those hidden treasures.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really interesting to think about the difference. And who's speaking to me? Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus. It is interesting. And I don't even know that I've done a lot of thinking on that until I just ask you guys that question. And, you know, I'm just thinking back through my life, and you can tell a difference. I would encourage you, for those of you listening or watching, I would encourage you to just think about some moments in time or memories you have of when he's spoken to you. And I bet you can tell. Like, I remember one time, this was
or asking, years ago. If you don't know, ask.
Well, that's true, too. It was like 25 years ago when I first started on this real, what we would call pursuing an intimate relationship with him. I was actually in the bathtub. And as soon as I got in the bathtub, I always go there to talk to God, because
me
that's
too.
Why I have, because you get privacy. People don't me come too. In asking you things.
It's or, intimacy. There's well, nothing I did, between
I did one time, I was doing this, and I did have my housekeeper open the bathroom and hand me the phone in the bathtub, and I went, no. Okay. But
anyway, side note.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, I got in the bathtub, and right after I got in the bathtub, I don't know who's speaking to me. This voice says, I just felt it inside, said, very soon, I'm going to change Steve's heart.
Oh, gosh.
That very night, my husband decided he wanted to walk with Christ. Okay? Now, the second thing that happened is he said something. He gave me another word. And then the third thing that happened, I'm telling you, I could feel him sitting here right on my left shoulder. I could feel him. You know how when somebody's in the room, I could feel him, and I could hear him whisper in my ear. And you know what I felt? I can't explain it to you, but I physically felt arms come around me and hug me.
Just hold you.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm telling you, if I could manufacture that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in a bathtub right now, okay? I mean, it's glorious. And you know what? And what I'm saying is, I knew it was Jesus. It wasn't Holy Spirit. It wasn't the Father. I knew it was Jesus.
Yes. And I when you bring that up, there was a season of time and I so needed it, and it was Jesus. And it was because I was forgiven.
Mm-hmm. So tender,
and he was
right?
trying to get across to me, you now have to receive it. What I'm saying to you, you've got to receive it. And for months and months, I would feel his hand on my cheek.
Wow.
At certain times, all of a sudden it would just, he's there. Like it's okay. Yeah. And let this go. And I really don't see it. I never did, you know, and the Father trying to reaffirm it. And then I've had one instance but I guess it was over here, where I really felt him behind me with his hand on my shoulder, and it just stayed there. And I can remember going, oh, somebody's here. Like when I came out of it, I thought somebody, you know, cause I had my eyes closed. So I was just feeling this sensation. Mm. And I thought there was somebody that had come over to me. And when I came out of it, there was, and it was just him. It was just yet you're here. I don't know. It's just,
And then I have an instance. I have an instance of Holy Spirit. I was in a room with probably 25 people, and there was a prophet, Chuck Pierce, which some may know, he was speaking. And while he was speaking, it was a vision. You can't make this stuff up. I was looking at him. As I looked behind him, it looked like this big ball of fire. And it came rushing across the room and went right through my stomach. And I just stood there kind of like,
oh my,
not knowing what happened. And then in a little bit, we stood up to sing. And I was standing there in the middle of the room, and water started dropping on my cheek, and I looked up to see if it was an air conditioning vent. And there was no air conditioning vents. And I looked around the room to see if other people were getting wet. And it wasn't. It was me. I can't tell you what all was happening in that moment, but that was Holy Spirit.
A manifestation of the Spirit. that you needed.
Right. You felt God was.
I don't know what was happening.
Empowering
I don't know
you if for something. I know that's one of the things when reading that through the Acts, and even when the Holy Spirit broke through the clouds to rest, it even says, you use that phrase, the Holy Spirit rested on Jesus. And I did a study of that, and you know, Jesus never grieved the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, you know, he wants to fly away. It's not like he wants to stay attached to us. It's painful. And so with Jesus, he rested on him. And when he came through the clouds talking about a kingdom, it was a violent ripping. You know, I think when we've read that story, we feel like it's a song. But it was the same word used for the ripping of the clouds when the Holy Spirit came down is the same word.
Wait, what scripture are you talking about?
Okay, in John chapter 1, it talks about when I saw the Spirit come down from heaven in the form of a dove and rest on him. And it's
baptism.
Right, but when it's one of it talks about the heavens opened up, right? In right. One of the four Gospels. But then when Jesus died and when the rocks ripped, it was the same word they said as when the Holy Spirit came down.
Oh, wow.
And broke through the clouds. So it was, he rested on the king.
I ought to look and see if that is in there.
He rested on the king.
There's so many verses that are, what is that, John what? Go ahead, Sandra.
No, I was going to say, ladies, I love this topic. We are out of time today, but I think let's pick it up. Let's keep doing this.
Yes.
So next week, why don't we continue our conversation on Holy Spirit?
Love it.
Sounds
you
good.
Notice I said Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying.
There you go.
I'm my own preaching here. Well, we are delighted that you joined us today. I hope you will check out our website, heartstonenetwork.com. We also have a new initiative called gardenforlife.info. That is a program we have to help teach people how to grow their own food around the world. Anyway, we are delighted that you joined us today, and we will look forward to seeing you next week as we continue this, I think, very interesting conversation on Holy Spirit.